if the first case contains what is it, let me read that case first. When Su Feng was living in a hut, there were two monks who came to pay their respects. Seeing them coming, he pushed open the door of the hut with his hand, popped out, and said, "What is it?" A monk also said, "What is it?" Feng lowered his head and went back inside the hut. Later, the monk came to Heng Tao. Tao asked, "Where are you coming from?" The monk said, "I've come from Lingnan." Tao said, "Did you ever go to Su Feng?" The monk said, "I went there." Tao said, "What did he have to say?" The monk recounted the preceding story. Tao said, "What did he say?" The monk said, "He said nothing. He lowered his head and went back inside the hut." Tao said, "Alice, it's too bad. I didn't tell him the last word before. If I had told him, no one on earth could cope with old Su." At the end of the summer, the monk again brought up the preceding story to ask for instruction. Tao said, "Why didn't you ask earlier?" The monk said, "I didn't dare to be casual." Tao said, "Though Su Feng is born of the same lineage as me, he doesn't die in the same lineage as me. If you want to know the last word, just this is it." Well, Su Feng was one of the famous Zen masters in China, the 8th century or so, no, 9th century. Belonging to Seigen Gyoshi Zen Master, Seigen Gyoshi lineage, in the words, Tozan's lineage, Tozan Zen Master's lineage. and also the another person here, and Tao was in the relation of the brother with Su Feng. Both became under the guidance of Toksan Zen Master, who lived from 780 to 865, Toksan Zen Master. So both were Su Feng and Heng Tao practiced for a long time under the guidance of Toksan Zen Master. The two monks in this case practiced under the guidance of Su Feng. I think if you read the commentary, look at the page 347, just the middle. It says the 1, 2, 3, 4, 4th paragraph from the top. Later, due to a purge, did you find? Later, due to purge, and Tao became a ferryman by the shores of the lake or two. On each shore hung a board. When someone wanted to cross, he would knock on the board. Tao would call out, "What side are you crossing to?" Then he in what way his all and come up from among the weeds. From this story, from this paragraph, I think the Buddhism was about to be destroyed by a government. So that's why he says later, due to a purge. So all the monks had to come out of the temple and hid somewhere. So same applied to the Su Feng, and also in Tao. In the story, Antor become a hairy man, cutting the people from this shore to the other shore anyway. So in Chinese Buddhist history, sometimes you can find a very interesting point, because Chinese history went always up and down very roughly. And nevertheless, Buddhism history of Buddhism was not exceptional. So Buddhism also always going up and down. Sometimes Buddhism flourished very well, but sometimes Buddhism was almost destroyed. But whatever happens, very interesting things was that Zen monks always survived somewhere. And then after peaceful world coming up, and then Zen monks came back, and they started to practice and study Buddhism again. So this is one very interesting case. He says later, due to a purge, even though Endo became a free man, still people was interested in this free man. Sometimes people went to see him and discuss, listen to his life. So in this case, the Su Feng also was hidden in the heart of the mountains, which was a little difficult for the people to find him. So maybe he lived in the heart of the mountain at the little hut. So that's why he says, when Su Feng was living in the hut, so he didn't have his temple anyway. There were two monks, but nevertheless, monks were interested in seeing him and practice under him. So that there were two monks who came to pay their respects. Seeing them coming, he pushed it open the door of the hut with his hand popped out and said, "What it is? What is it?" Anyway, the Su Feng came up first, opened the door, and he came out the first initiatively and said, "What it is? What is it?" The monk also said, "What is it?" Most of the people were knocked out of a heap by, let's say, this the famous Zen master's initiative remarks. So most of the monks couldn't say anything after his remarks. But in this case, this monk's pretty good, because he said also, "What is it?" Immediately after the Su Feng said, so just like a parrot imitating his words, but immediately he said, and two monks said like this, But usually the Supreme was a pretty famous and a very powerful person, so most of the people became a frog in front of the snake, so they couldn't, most of the people couldn't say anything. But they said anyway same words. So after that, Fen lowered his head and went back inside the hut. So maybe this is a pretty meaningful, but a full month, they thought that Su Feng probably accepted these two monks, the spiritual career through their message, so called, what is it? In other words, Su Feng, they believed that Su Feng accepted their spiritual career and respect without saying. So that's why Su Feng bowed and went back to his hat. That means the two monks really believed they were pretty good. That's why Su Feng accepted us. But still, that's why they really couldn't forget that the Su Feng's acceptance. So someday they wanted to make sure whether the Su Feng's acceptance was true or not by other Zen masters. That's why later the monk came to Endo, asked, where are you coming from? The monk said, I come from Linnan. So said, did you ever go to Su Feng? The monk said, I went there. What did he have to say? If you went to see Su Feng, what did you learn? If you learned something, what did he say? So the Do said, what did he have to say? But a monk didn't say anything about this question, but the monk recounted the preceding story. They repeated the stories that they had at the Su Feng's hut. So the monk recounted the preceding stories. The Paul said, what did he say? It is not all he wanted to know. The Paul wanted to know is what Su Feng said. So that's why Paul questioned once more again, what did he say? The monk said he said nothing. Still, these monks didn't understand exactly. Even though they believed that Su Feng might accept these two monks' spiritual career, but still there was something vague. That's why they wanted to make sure of whether it was true or not. So Do said, no, excuse me. So the monk said, he said nothing. He lowered his head and went back inside the hut. So that means, two monks really they wanted to say something real. They believed to anyway Endo. That's why he repeated the same situation. But for Tor understood pretty well why Su Fen lowered his head and went back. Because what is it is not merely question mark. What is it? What is it in Buddhism always pointing out real reality, what real truth? That's after we say emptiness. In other words, what is it is implication of real world, which has no root, particular root, so called emptiness. That is the Su Fen's word, what is it? But two monks also said same things, but I don't know how much they understood this one, because according to the statement in the next lines, the two monks seems not to understand what it meant, what it meant. So, as Endor says, Alice, it's too bad. I didn't tell him the last word before. If I had told him, no one on earth could cope with old Sue. Well, it's too bad I didn't tell him the last word before. This is a really important point in this case. Last word. Unfortunately, Su Endo didn't tell him the last word. But last word is completely beyond the word. Before word and the after word. The last word means, what is it? This is the last word. Even though you understand the truth, understanding of the truth is not the last word. Experience of the truth is not the last word. Last word is the truth itself. For instance, no matter how long you say fire with your mouth, it is not the last word in order to understand what the fire is, because the word is word. So the last word of fire is, what is it? What is it? The last word of fire is fire itself. Anywhere fire itself. So no matter how long you emphasize you have a great career of experiencing the truth or enlightenment or ultimate truth through the Zen, through Buddhist practice, or through other religious experience and practice, it is not last word. First word is exactly, what is it? What is it? So that's why Doe said here, Alex, it's too bad I didn't take him the last word before. Last word is always there. Regardless of whether the world was born, or in the beginning of the world, or end of the world, or after, anyway, or before the world, always there is the last word. So, Endo says, Alice, it's too bad I didn't take him the last word before. If I had told him, no one on earth could cope with old Su. Why, if you can tell something, if you can tell the last word to somebody, that's great, that's great. Well, in the sort of Zen, it is called Dharma transmission. Dharma transmission is the really last word we have to tell. Well, plainly speaking, the last word for you people is that it is the great sublimity of human life. You have to transmit to next generation. It is not teaching. It is not word. It is not something you have to give to somebody who don't have it. Everyone have it. To transmit something is to, well, what to say, take it out from individual, from whom have this truth, anyway, important thing. So, doesn't give you anything anywhere, but doesn't helps you to realize the Buddha nature. Zazen doesn't give you the Buddha nature anyway. Well, Zazen gives you anything to you. But Zazen helps you what you have. Helps you to realize what you have, how sublime your life is. That is the meaning of Zazen. So if you can realize how sublime your life is, that realization is supremely important. Nobody touch it. You alone know it. Clearly, very clearly. That is called, practically speaking, spiritual security. Or usually, we use faith. So that's why he says, if I had told him no one on earth that could call with old Sue. And to the end of the summer, the monk again brought up the preceding story to ask for instruction. The two monks didn't understand the last word, the meaning of the last word. That's why they contemplate this koan for 90 days anyway. So at the end of the summer, the monk again brought up the preceding story to ask for instruction. He said, why didn't you ask earlier? Because last word exists always. That's another bit. Compared beyond, you understand or you don't, you understand or you don't understand. Anyway, you should face anyway directly. In other words, you should knock the door again and again. So, that's why he said, why didn't you ask earlier? The monk said, monk answered very honestly, I didn't dare to be casual, because it was pretty difficult. The Torah says, though Su Feng is born of the same village as me, but Su Feng and Do were in the brother in the relation of brother Dhamma brothers. So that's why he said the same lineage as me. Means that Endo and Sufen were born in this world, not separately, in the world, in the, on the one, the same and one level of the ground, so called Buddha nature. When you climb the mountain, so you mustn't be the separate from mountains. If you are, so while you are separated from the mountain, a mountain becomes a big burden for you. So you have to carry the mountain on your back. It makes you tired. But when you become, anyway, one with the mountain, completely beyond hardness, hard work or easy work, as long as one the mountain exists in front of you, anytime, anywhere, you can climb the mountain. Completely on. Risking life or idea of risking life or hard work or easy work? Well, in other words, you must be born in the same world as the mountain. We say, Doshi or Doshi means, you must be born simultaneously with mountain. Mountain is born simultaneously with your birth. Means you must be one with the mountain's life. But on the other hand, you are you. Mountains, mountains. But exactly there is a mountain and you are one. That's why you become a great mountaineer. No one touches. No one touches you. Why? No one knows why you have to climb the mountain, risking your life. Actually, expenses of your life. There is no guarantees when you can survive, when you die. There is no guarantee. But completely beyond human speculations, you can climb the mountain constantly. But you know pretty well you are you, mountain is mountain, so your whole life you have to learn what the mountain is, you have to learn who you are constantly. Simultaneously, you have to learn all living beings around the mountains, within the mountains, outside of the mountains, within you, outside of you. So very naturally, there is a great dynamic working between you and mountains. They are two, they are not two. They are one, but they are not one. But you can feel very dynamic working as a one, beyond idea of one or two. There is nothing but practice itself. You just climb the mountain. So he says, that's why Do said, though Su Feng is born of the same lineage as me, he doesn't die in the same lineage as me, because mountain is mountain, you are you. But mountains and you, and trees, birds, all sentient beings were born in the same lineage as you. If you want to know the last word, just this is it. This is the last word. Just this is it. Just this is it means what you do, Gassho. What is the last word of the Gassho? The last word of the Gassho is just this is it. What is the last word of the fire? Just this is it. What is the chanting of the sutra? What is the last word of the chanting? The last word of the chanting is completely beyond good chanter or bad chanter. Last word of chanting is completely beyond perceptions. Just this is it means just chanting. You must be jumping to the real process of the chanting. You must be alive right in the middle of chanting. They are two, but they are not two. They are one, but they are not one, if you think it. But when you, anyway, merged with practice itself, process itself, well, that process of the practice, you become merged with, complete beyond, beyond dichotomy. That means, just this is it. Well, I cannot say what is the real, who I am. In talking, in giving, in Zazen, I cannot say. It's pretty hard to say about the last word of my Zazen. The last word of my Zazen is, anyway, just this is it.
Now, words, look at this sentence anyway. Maybe that you can say so. But we know that the last word of Zari is something maybe more than that. More than just this is it. That is just this is it. Means you have to do it. So, let's read a pointer. The pointer says, as soon as there is affirmation and denial, you lose your mind in confusion. If you don't fall into grace and stages, then there is no seeking. As soon as there is affirmation and denial, you lose your mind in confusion. So always there is affirmation, denial. Darkness and light. Source, the source of the existence and the branches of the existence. So we chant every morning on the Sandokai, merging of difference and unity. Well, we always say the writing light, there is darkness, but don't confront it as darkness. Right in darkness, there is light. But don't see it as light. The darkness is implication of the real reality. Light is not in the world when the darkness, real reality operates. When the real reality operates, it manifests itself as phenomena, which is called light. So, my profound force, everybody, all of you, are, anyway, beings which is existing very clearly. Clearly means you are pure nature. It's very clear. You are not the you seen from a certain ideas or scientific opinions, you know. In terms of biology, in terms of science, any physics, etc. Anyway, you are, anyway, pure nature, greatness of existence. That is clear, very clear. That's why light, we say light. Phenomena is nothing but functioning of the truth, real reality. That is called light, phenomena. Okay? That's why you say, right in light, there is darkness. But don't confound it as darkness. If you see the darkness, you are stuck there. Pitfall of enlightenment. So that's why he says, don't see it as light. Don't see it as darkness. Right in darkness there is light, but don't see it as light, because light and darkness, truth and phenomenal world, are anyway working together. You can't separate my mountain and you walking together, otherwise you cannot climb the mountains. You cannot feel a lightness of mountain's life. You can't. You and mountains are really working together. That's why you really love the mountain. That's why next says light. Now light and dark are relative to one another, like a forward and backward steps. Just like a forward and backward steps you experience every day. But something more than back and forward steps. Anyway, at the super speed it's working anyway. So, same apply to the affirmation, denial, and the truth and phenomenon. So, as soon as there is affirmation and denial, if you see even slightly perception of the affirmation you attach to, you lose your mind in confusion, because immediately you see denial. If you say happy, if you say, I am happy, you can see immediately shadow of unhappiness. So you, that's why very naturally you're confused because you don't understand what happiness is. So you lose your mind in confusion. If you don't fall into grades and stages, then there is no seeking. But nevertheless, you can't ignore while the definition of you as you, definition of mountains as mountains. So mountains, mountains. You are you. There is a stages and grade and career. You can experience step by step. So if you don't fall into grades and stages, then there is no seeking. There is no development usually. There is no sense of progress. As long as we exist in the dualistic world, well, you cannot ignore a sense of progress, stages, grades, races, many kinds of discriminations, relativities, not peace or peace, liberty or not liberty. So, if you don't fall into grades and stages, then there is no seeking. If you don't accept this discrimination, you are also at a loss what to do. So, final beautiful ideal image of human life is living in the realm of no government and no regulations and no sectarianism, no races, and exactly, you know. And then that is a very peaceful, wonderful Buddhist world. But I don't mean that you should ignore the world of regulations and constitutions and government and moralities and religious life, etc. I told you very often, ethics and the government and regulations must be accepted by all sentient beings, because without this we cannot live in order. But the point is, you have to digest through and through the constitutions and ethics, government in your life until its form or traits appears in your life. In other words, ethics, regulations, constitutions completely alive in your life. If you want to know American Constitution, you should know yourself. So your life is constitution. But your life is always working very smoothly without being stuck in the idea of constitution, because your whole life is constitution. So at that time, it is called no government, no constitution. And then people can, that is called morality. Because people can live in peace and harmony without government. How do they live? According to morality, they can live. So if you live, you should accept, that's why I accept morality. But morality, if you're stuck in morality, morality becomes a big burden for you. So, but on the other hand, you cannot ignore it. So the important point is morality must be digested in your life perfect, completely, through and through, until it doesn't appear in your life. So morality is your life. So at that time, morality is no trace of morality. No trace of morality is called spiritual life, religion, so-called religion. So, say if you have a spiritual life, no morality. It's not necessary to have morality, because morality is included in spiritual life. Next, still you should accept spiritual life, but still spiritual life becomes a big burden. So spiritual life must be digested through and through in your life until it doesn't appear in your surface without leaving any trace. Then spiritual life doesn't leave its own trace. At that time, it is called peace, harmony. So, when the spiritual life is completely digested in your life, perfect peace. That is called liberty, freedom. From this point, freedom doesn't ignore for spiritual life, morality, ethics, government itself. Because in this discrimination, you have to find the liberty. How? Anyway, digest the morality in the constitutions and ethics and in your everyday life. Through and through. Because morality and you are always working to take forward and backward steps. You can't ignore. Like a mountain and you. So until mountain's life becomes one with you, anyway you should digest mountain's life. And then your life is mountain. So that's why it says, as soon as there is affirmation and denial, you lose your mind in confusion. If you don't pour into grace and stages, then there is no seeking. But say, is letting go right? Or is holding fast right? At this point, if you have any trace of an interpretative root, you are still stuck in verbal explanations. So finally, what you have to do is, anyway, accept the constitution and while digesting every day. Digest the constitution in your life means, anyway, practice it. Until it's melt in your life. So from this point you should hold fast. Anyway, hold it. Hold fast the constitution, morality, ethics, and spiritual life, but next moment you have to digest them perfectly. That means letting go. Because if you digest morality is not there. If you digest mountain's life completely, well, mountain's life anyway help you very much, because if you look at your life, it is mountain's life. So there is no trace of the mountain's life particularly. That is called letting go. But on the other hand, mountain's life and your life is separated, so you have to hold in fast, anyway, not random, right. In appropriate way. This is everyday life, we have to digest it. Anyway, completely on good or bad, right, wrong, or hard or not hard. Anyway, every day we have to climb a mountain. So, what should I do? Should I let go always? No, it's not right. Should I always hold it fast? It's not right, always. So letting go, right, and holding fast, right. We need both. How? Just this is it. That's all. Last word of Gassho. Last word of the climbing the mountains. What is the last word of the climbing the mountain? Completely beyond a matter of discussion. At this point, if you have any trace of interpretative root, even though there is, even slightly, there is an interpretative root, you are still stuck in a verbal explanation. It is true. It is true. That's why in the picture of your world, fabricated by your head, always there is a suffering. Should I go this way or that way? Always suffering. But you should accept this suffering, this wobbling. We should accept the flashing light always. This is right, this is wrong. But from moment to moment, everyday life is going from moment to moment. Anyway, it's quick. So every day you have to, anyway, alive from moment to moment. If you are still involved with devices and objects, then all of this is haunting the fields and forest. In Japanese we say eso fubaku. Eso means, it means depend on. So means grasses. Depend on the grasses. Fubaku means to attach. Fu means to attach. Boku means trees. Depend on grasses, attaching to the trees. That means, that is a Buddhist technical term, we say, well, according to karmic, sense of a karmic theory, well, people believe in India that after human death, you know, and soul is haunting somewhere for at least 49 days, you're haunting. And then during 49 days, there is nothing to depend on. That's why those soul is depending on the grasses and the trees. By the road of the side of the road, or the mountains, wherever you may go. Or sometimes dewdrop, sometimes speck of dust on the leaf of the grasses. That is called, it's a fubaku, here says haunting the fields and the forest. It's mean a kind of ghost. Ghost haunting. Haunting, I don't know, haunting is, well, in other words, in the world, the human world, always there is a something. There is always something. Even though you can't see it, there is always something. So in the monastery, I told you very often the toilet is a very good and very important place for the for practice with silence, very silence, and concentrating on purifying your body, becoming one with whole world. Because when you go to the toilet, very naturally you become alone. No one interrupts you. Don't you think so? Well, when I was in the army, I was always running into the toilet in order to read something, you know, because I had a kind of inspiration of examination or something, so immediately I run to the toilet and sit down there and read it. For 5 minutes and 10 minutes, when I was 16 years old, my head work very quick. Nothing else. Sit down there and read. And in 10 minutes I memorize. So toilet is very peaceful for individual peaceful world. Well, that is a joke anyway. But anyway, toilet is one of the important place for silent practice, toilet, and zendo, and bathroom. Bathroom is bathing, you can bathe. Because pretty easily you feel relaxed. If you feel relaxed, then natural words coming up, your behavior becomes a little bit rough. So we naturally keep silent and moving toward the center. Moving toward the center is very important, so-called, how to say, central pole force. That's pretty important, you know. When you walk in wherever, from after this in your lecture, when you go back, just walk on the street, and you try to come back to the center, and walk steadily. And that time, you feel a certain weight. That is a weight of depth of your life. When you come back to the center, whole the picture of your life becomes pretty stable because it central force makes a kind of weight of the depth of your personality. Simultaneously, central force creates and centrifugal force. So very natural people are very impressed by you. You see that? You see this? So, the coming back to the center is very important for us. But always, we do everyday life, we are always going out. Okay? But when you have a very strong central force, very naturally you have and with central proof the force, but sometimes people are completely going out, forgetting they're coming back to the center. Alright? So, more or less, we have power or capability to come back to the center, even though you try to go out, because you cannot always go out. So very much if you continue going out, you exhaust. When you exhaust, that is a signal of coming back to the center, anyway. So, anyway, all of this is haunting the fields and forests. If we have you arrive immediately at the point of solitary liberation, you haven't avoided looking back to the village gate from 10,000 miles away. If you arrive immediately at the point of solitary liberation means oneness of the mountain and you who are climbing the mountain. Okay? You say, I get it. You get exactly a feeling of oneness. But at that time, it is already something you can see objectively. So that oneness is not real oneness. That oneness is perception of the oneness, not the last word of the oneness. The last word of the oneness is constantly you must be alive right in the middle of oneness. Constantly. So that's why if you think it immediately, that is, you create immediately huge gap. Just like a heaven and earth. That's what he says. If you arrive immediately at the point of solitary liberation, you haven't avoided looking back to the village gate from 10,000 miles away. Anyway, you are just pointing around trees and grasses. It's story of a ghost. The other day I went to the Milwaukee and one of the Tibetan Buddhist groups and taught me a very interesting I don't want to tell this story because it's a little bit hasty. But anyway, whatever he does, he always he is always imaginative, very strongly about Avalokiteshvara's compassion and try to create energy of that Avalokiteshvara, so called compassion, whatever he does, particularly when he has excitement, right in the middle of excitement, he tries to create energy of Avalokiteshvara's compassion, and then he feels pretty good. So he said, is that right? I said, yes or no. Well, in a sense, it's pretty good, but in a sense, it's nothing but a ghost. Depending on the trees or flowers and grasses. Depends on the imagination of Avalokiteshvara, and depending on haunting on the excitement, fascinating, spiritual fascinations. If you're looking at me, if you really are stuck in the moment there, you just look at that experience. It's not the last word of the peace. Peace and harmony is not something coming from outside, but from you. not from you, in you. You are peace. You must be peace itself. So even though you constantly practice like this, and even though you feel good because you can get the energy of compassion, or you can get the energy of your life, but it is still imaginative world. Because it is nothing to do with real peace of you. Because you are still swayed away by imagination over energy or spiritual fascination or excitement, many stuff. And you think, huh? Feeling good or not feeling bad, always. But real peace is you must be the last word of your being. Exactly. So that's why it says like this, can you reach it? If you can't, just to comprehend this perfectly obvious public case, test I am citing it. Do you have a question? But in this core main important point is what the last word is. The last word is just this is it. And also the last word is what is it? What is it? The last word, or just this is it? Those expression is nothing but process of practice. Full aliveness, fully aliveness of your life in Gassho, in Zazen, in walking, in cooking, in reading, studying. Simple practice, but it's not so easy. But we have to do it. We have to practice this. So regardless of whether you are conscious of it or not, if you climb the mountain, you are one with the mountains, even though you try or you don't try. And because you do your best to climb the mountain. But how do you do your best to climb the mountain? For what? To make money? To become fame? Okay. There are lots of destinations. By the destination, doing your best, a meaning of doing your best is changed. Value of doing your best really changes. Well, this is another point, another big topic we have to think of it, so I don't want to have problems.
Yeah. Good question. Does consciousness have any place in doing one's best, or is it I'm trying to think about something I heard discussion on it called feedback, you know, cybernetics, information back to yourself. What about checking oneself? Or how do we know if we slip off? Or it seems like from this koan that to check is already to put a big distance. You understand what I'm trying to ask?
I don't know, check is appropriate term. But anyway, when you check, you just check with your wholeheartedness. That's very important. Don't bring in anything else. When you have to check, just check with wholeheartedness.
Check on our wholeheartedness.
So then, with, oh yeah.
How wholehearted are we? That's
well,
what we check. So we check.
With almighty. Yeah. With your whole capability.
Okay.
Whatever you think, wholeheartedness is wholeheartedness. But we are always thinking not thinking of in pure sense. So called checking. Okay? When you check something, always we think something else. You know? More than checking. Okay? So checking is not pure activities. So for instance, when you're eating a meal, you don't eat the meal in a pure sense. Don't you? You're always thinking, or reading a magazine, or Chinese others. So when you eat the meal, or just do your best. Anyway, you eat the meal with wholeheartedness. That means wholeheartedness means true heart. Means, well, do something in true sense. That's undefiled practice. Because consciousness, the nature of the consciousness is nothing but energy anyway. So when you deal with the consciousness in a pure sense, consciousness becomes just a great energy. In other words, you can return to the center of the consciousness. To deal with the consciousness with wholeheartedness means you can return to the center of the consciousness. Okay? And then that is a very energy, supporting you, helping you. For instance, when you do the Zen breathing, with your consciousness, you check your breathing. So your consciousness should work in a pure sense with your breath. So your breath is your consciousness. But when your consciousness returns to the center of your, when you return to the center of your consciousness, that is really energy helping your breath. So breath very naturally supports your Zen. Help you.
Could you answer the same way with self-preservation?
Hmm? Self?
What would you say, same thing about self-preservation as well?
Self what?
Self-preservation.
Preservation.
Yeah, the idea to thought about taking care of ourselves. That thought comes up a lot versus merging.
Yes, but not only the self-preservation. Obviously, if you notice, if you realize self-preservation, that is coming back to the center. Don't you?
Yeah.
From the other end, you have to go out. So no self-preservation. Okay. In that term, self-preservation really helpful for you. But if you are always attached to self-preservation only, that is egoistic. Because always light and darkness and just like a forward and backward steps. We have returning to the center simultaneously. We have energy to going up. So two things simultaneously working.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
What you said about oneness, you, well, for example, you and mountain, and I and mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And if I said I am become one in the mountain,
mm-hmm.
even I'm a professional mountain climber,
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that my oneness and professional mountain climber's oneness with the mountain is the same.
Same.
Is the same.
Oneness is oneness. Everything.
But seems to me the different knowledge different about the mountain itself.
Yes, very naturally there is grade and stages and all the monks and little monks and quite different.
But still, it's in that stage that the oneness for the both mountains.
Yes, whoever you are, whether you are expert or professional or not professional, when you climb the mountain, experience oneness, now oneness is oneness. Exactly the same. But still, there is a difference because there is a range of stages and grades and the ages and the carriers and many things. Even though first grade child experienced enlightenment, that enlightenment is enlightenment. It's not. Puppy seed is a being anyway. Himalaya mountain is also being, isn't it? But puppy seed is puppy seed. So finally, well, how can I do it? What should I do? So, just we have to just find the mind with wholeheartedness.
Perhaps that was the literal translation of dosho doshi.
Literal do of dosho is the same. The same sho of dosho is earth or life. So the same earth was the same life. Doshi is same, the same. She is death. Same death. Same life, same death. Death. By the one between the mountains and you. Zazen and you, Gashu and you. So you can be in the same life of Gashu in the same death as Gashu. That is called oneness.
Interesting. If only this is it,
mm-hmm.
or what is it, if only that exists continually
mm-hmm.
and forever,
mm-hmm.
then what is enlightenment?
Well, it is not something which exists forever, you think. There is already something running through our head. So it is always conceptualized. So what is it is actually nothing to hold on. Nothing. It's pretty hard to say through the words. So only thing we can say is how to be there. How to be there, how to handle you, how to handle with us there. So we can tell you only a way to be present or to learn what it is. But if you try to say at that time, it's become blur. So that's why, what is it? But on the other hand, it is not something blur, because you can know a way how to be present. Okay? Mm-hmm. So through the way how to be the present, we can know who we are, what it is. So at that time, just this is it.
Yeah, but still we have a longing.
Your longing is already up there. We are always seeing something in terms of pros and cons, success and failure.
So before longing is enlightenment?
Yeah, before longing. Complete before longing or after longing. Anyway, it's truth, enlightenment. So call energy. We say, I use the energy or universal life. You know, we have already mind and vision, consciousness. That is already thinking something already.
Mm-hmm.
When you were born, already you have mind. You have mind means that you have already be born in this world with all sentient beings. In other words, with mediated conditions. And also consciousness, when you are born with mediated conditions, conditions becomes your object of the consciousness. Okay? In order to make the consciousness operate or work or survive, consciousness act on object. So very naturally, there is a separation there. But basically, in the source of the consciousness, consciousness works very simple way. Very simple way. Just like a tree's roots and etc. Very simple. That's why nature is beautiful, you know. But our consciousness is a little bit slip off. Slip off means that we want to satisfy. We want to fill up satisfaction of our desire in many ways.
under all circumstances, always.
Not seeing the object, not something like simple. If we see something and then next moment there is a desire, which forces, compels you to fill up with the satisfaction in many ways. That is called life and death. And that is called the Seidon Kyoso means what to say. How can I say? Seidon Kyoso means
competing for life.
Yeah, competing. Trying to make a life. Make a living. I want to make a living. Always. So in terms of making a life, that is really feeling the satisfaction of your life. And at that time, death is a complete omit. Okay? Because I want to make a living. So always in a certain period of time, we're always looking, but we don't see the death. In other words, the world after death, we don't see it, you know, because I don't want to see it. So only we want to see is the world which lasts for a certain period of time, from your birth before death. Okay? 50 years, 60 years, 30 years. That during this period of time, we always have strong desires to fill up our satisfaction in many ways and all circumstances, consciously, unconsciously, it comes up. To fill up your desire, dissatisfaction means you are not satisfied. Okay? So then reality is denied. Do you understand? You don't satisfy, that's what you want to know. You are longing for. In a pure sense, we are longing always. That means already your reality is denied, negative, present. Do you understand that?
So, to stop our longing.
No, no, you cannot stop longing anyway.
Okay, that's longing too.
You should know the structure of the longing anyway. Mm-hmm. We always depend on the longing because that is always giving some information to you about the truth, about something. That's why you always accept the longing in terms of affirmative aspect. But you should know the negative aspect. But we don't see it. Don't you think so? If you have a desire to seek for the truth, you always feel good because you can get always something. But that means, I don't think so.
No, I know the negative part.
Sure, you have to know the negative aspect because you are not satisfied. That's why you want to fill up satisfaction. That means you slip out. You are run out from the present. Okay, that is called filling up the satisfaction. The consciousness is working very in a simple way. Just simple way. But immediately you have a desire trying to fill up your satisfaction, that negative of the present. That's why you slip out from the present. That is called samsara, samsari. Alright?
How long is it possible to stay present?
That's why we have to come back to the center. Please come back. We are always slip out.
Is it possible not to?
Well, more or less. Possible, even though you say, oh, I'm not, it's already slip out.
But how'd you sound?
So I say, that's why when I don't think it. But if I say so, you say, I don't think in that way. But it always slip up because you think. Okay? But as simple as you can, you should think it anyway. Simple way. Just think. Simple way. Because thinking is also nothing but energy. Without thinking, you cannot survive in this world. So thinking is very important. Okay? But still, there is something extra beyond simple thinking. Okay, if you think, that's enough. But if you think something, then we create something, our own world. That is, well, if you think this tape recorder, oh, wonderful, that's enough. But next moment I will, what's that? And what's that tape recorder that is? What company made this one? Next moment, oh, I would like to have it. This always going on and on, constantly. But first motivation, when you see this tape recorder is simple, very simple. Just like a mirror and tape recorder. Don't you think so?
Yes.
And then just sit, bodhisattva, full in at the enlightenment, act on, just like this. But usually we don't. But what we don't do in that way is not something bad. If you know that, that is a very good sign, because you realize how much you are swept out of the present in order to filling up the satisfaction. Then very naturally you can come back to the center. So that's why that is everyday life practice. Okay? That is a practice on everyday living and basis. In the story it's simple. Think simply, and we see another desires and slipping out the present. Why don't you stop it? That story is simple. Okay? And just work simple. But we cannot do it. Then how can we do it? This is a practice on an everyday basis. Right? You cannot say I cannot do it or I can do it. No. Every day you have to do it. So, and Dogen then says, that's why you have to raise 100,000 million body mind. Body mind means, anyway, come back to the center. Come back to the center. This is a direction you have to aim at. Now come back. Well, how much? How often? 1 million. 100 million. 1,000 billion times, and things on. Every 20 a day is day consists of 1,004 billion and moments. And you have to raise in the body anyway 4 billion times. That is our practice. At that time, it is called just this is. This is it. Or what is it? When you come back like this, and then you are called bodhisattva. It's really bodhisattva. So whatever you think, human life, anyway, if you can aim at that destination, anyway, come back to the center, that destination, that is called bar. Anyway, long, for long run, you have to aim at that destination. Destination is not far from you, it's here. That is called bar. You say bar. But this must last for a long time, not in your lifetime, life after life. That's why it is called long cherished, you know, long cherished aspiration, which is called vow. This is very simple, quiet practice, so called plant the root of the life, and virtuous quiet.
Thank you.